everybody. Welcome to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast here on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. This is, of course, the Fantasy Warfare edition of the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Therefore, that means I am your host, Doug Hummer, mainly because I think I'm the first person to talk. So, thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Of course, joining me tonight is my booking committee, Brother Daniel.
What's up?
Stevie's here.
Hey, how's it going?
And my favorite slave girl, Eric.
I promoted it as we have to do a lot of debate, so get ready.
Oh, boy. All right. So before we get into the rules of the Fantasy Warfare, do a couple of plugs.
All right. Make sure to listen to the Dirt Sheet Dudes every Wednesday and Friday. After NXT and AEW on Wednesday, and after SmackDown on Fridays for the Dirt Sheet Dudes. Make sure, Boxman and Smark, make sure to listen to us every Friday at 6:30 for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast.
Tell them what we're doing next week.
We're doing a show next week, and Doug will get into that. And then we also have Settling in the Ring on Saturdays, except not this Saturday. We got a Jim Crockett tribute show coming up at some point. We have the horror show this Sunday with Mindy, Scaredy Cats. The engagement for last week was very well, so I appreciate that. And keep listening.
Yeah, I did very well.
Listen to my sister than me.
That's when listen.
From Blog Talk, yeah. So, yeah. Make sure to do all that. What are we doing next week? All
right, so next week. So basically, I have everything planned out through May 28th. But we're just going to get into the next couple of weeks. All right.
Oh, wow.
Next week is going to be Daniel won our fantasy wrestling competition for the month of February. So he got to pick what we're doing next week. We're doing a TNA roster tier list. In 2 weeks.
Looking forward to that one.
Huh?
I said looking forward to that one.
Oh, okay. In 2 weeks, we will be reviewing WrestleMania 10. In 3 weeks, and this is Eric. In 3 weeks, this was Eric's idea. So he's not going to get another idea played out for about another 6 months.
He's just kidding.
In 3 weeks, March 26th, we will be talking the very last episode of WCW Monday Nitro. All right. April 2nd will be a WrestleMania. We don't know yet. It'll be put on a poll. April 9th will be a countdown of our top 10 favorite WrestleMania matches. And then we'll get on to the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in the coming weeks. So, all right. Also, at the end of the show, if we have some time, there's something that kind of bugged me that happened this week in the wrestling world that I kind of want to get into.
Okay.
If we have time. But it got on my nerves, and I just want to address it. I was going to put it on Facebook.
Address it here.
You want me to address it now?
Yeah, Caleb Braxton.
All right. So there was a thing. There's this WWE interviewer named Caleb Braxton. She's a backstage interviewer for SmackDown. She's also hosts a show called The Bump on WWE Network, and she also hosts Talking Smack. And she's got to be a saint if she hosts Talking Smack with Paul Heyman every week. All right, this girl has angel's wings. If she's willing to
work.
Okay. So, Heyman's wife doesn't even want to spend that much time with him. So,
does he have a wife?
He's got kids.
Okay.
So, I don't know. He probably built one. Anyway, so earlier this week, as a matter of fact, I don't even think it was earlier this week. I think it was actually yesterday or Wednesday night. She created a Twitter post that she has come out as bisexual. Anybody that doesn't know what that means, that basically means you're into both, guys and girls. And she deleted her Twitter account shortly after, or she deactivated it shortly after. Now, I don't know, like, nothing was really said or whatever. I mean, she got support from, like, some people. But I don't know if she was bullied. I don't know, whatever. I don't know if a couple people just said, like, a smart-ass comment. And she's like, you know what, fuck this. And then she actually, because I am actually friends with her on Facebook.
Yeah.
That just proves that she doesn't check her friend requests. You know, on her Facebook story, she posted a couple of things. She's like, people are like assholes or something like that, or people are full of shit. And another one with like a bunch of like broken hearts or whatever. What gets me upset is the fact that, you know, people, because people actually criticized, because people were trying to feel sorry for her or whatever. So like I saw this post in a bunch of different Facebook groups. And people are just like, you know, just like, you know, good for Kayla. You know, good thing that she, you know, came out or whatever.
Yeah.
Or came out as bisexual. But other people said, well, of course she's going to get bullied. She just needs to keep this shit to herself. To those people, I say, fuck you. And I say, fuck you, because social media was meant for people to get their feelings out in the open. Okay? If people are not meant to post how they're feeling for the world to see, nobody would have a smartphone. We'd all have fucking flip phones like me. Okay? My issue is bullying somebody just because they finally don't want to feel comfortable in their own skin. And, or somebody saying, well, you know, if she didn't want to get bullied, she should have just kept it to herself. Fuck you. All right. I see people posting on Twitter all the time, or not on Twitter, but like on Facebook or whatever, saying how big of a shit they took. Nobody criticizes them. People just come and be like, good job. Maybe you'll feel better. Your cheeks won't be as puffy or whatever the fuck. The issue I have is just the fact that people can just be dicks. And my message to her, not that she listens to this show, is that don't worry about what everybody else thinks of you. Only care what you think of you. Nobody else matters. You need to like yourself first before you start worrying about other people liking you. All right. That's basically my message here. Is it just like, it basically to her, and again, I'm not saying she listens to this show, Eamon might. But yeah, no, just before, don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Don't care what anybody else thinks. Only care what you think of you. And if you feel like coming out and saying, you know, I'm bi, it's the right thing, good for you. You know what? You deserve to be happy. You deserve to know who you are. That's pretty much it. And I really don't. I was going to post about it on Facebook, but she actually happens to be friends with me on Facebook, and I really didn't want to embarrass her. I mean, not that she would really say anything, and I doubt she listens to this show.
She might listen to it.
But yeah, no, so that's it. I just wanted to take a few minutes and just kind of say, because again, I really don't make my feelings known about this shit.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm not much into, you know, talking about people's feelings.
Yeah. You're right.
Good job, Doug.
The internet is a nasty, disgusting place sometimes.
Yeah.
And especially the fan bases that I'm in are very toxic, wrestling being one of them. Wrestling fans can be – I love wrestling fans. You know, wrestling fans drive this show. People watch, listen, support this. So, I love wrestling fans. We are wrestling fans. But some of them can be some of the most toxic people in the world just because, you know, they have an opinion or they think this and no one else is right. And it's all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's our society today is very entitled and full of selfish people.
Right. I mean, and Dan, you know, I've been kind of chewing on that all day. So
yeah,
well,
there you go.
But yeah, it saves me from having to type out the words on Facebook later.
Yeah, we got a show for something, right?
I'm glad you shared that, Doug.
I mean, you gave a positive message to women, so take as much time as you want.
Can I retire now? I mean, because I pretty much it went up as I could go.
Yeah, you probably should.
It's only going downhill from here.
Yeah. No one bring up China. You're hosting this, right? You want to get into fantasy?
Oh, yeah. Also, quick note about Fantasy Warfare.
Yes.
Dan and I are actually kind of working on, like, a new format for Fantasy Warfare. We don't know what the hell we're doing yet.
But it's exciting.
But we are working on it. We'll share details with you. With you two guys and with Clinton, and probably Kenny, although Kenny's dealing with his own stuff right now.
Thoughts and prayers to him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely thoughts and prayers to our buddy Kenny. He's going through kind of a rough time right now. Not going to get into it. Just basically going to say he needs all the love and support he can get. And not just, you know, the usual naked group hug that we give him.
I'll bring extra baby oil. But yeah, we're working on a new idea, and we'll get into that in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah.
Let's get into Fantasy Warfare, Doug.
Okay, so here's the rules of Fantasy Warfare. I'm technically Vince McMahon.
Yes.
Except for I don't have hair.
Yes.
Although I can walk like I do shit my pants. Anyway. So, and you guys are basically the other members of the booking committee. We have a tournament here, the Hardcore Title Tournament.
Yes.
Going to get into each match. You guys are going to give me who you think should win and why. And again, like I stressed last time, they have to be good reasons. You have to actually give me, you know, a good reason as to why they're going to go over. Because, you know, sometimes we have issues here where I have something on my head and Dangle has something on my head, but Russo and Ferrara here, you know, screw up the booking. So, again, if it's a good reason, it'll be taken into consideration. The Terry Taylor, Vince Russo reason, you and I are going to win out on this one. All right. Oh, it's the Hardcore Title. Your first round matches are Steve Blackman and Mike Awesome, Cactus Jack versus the Sandman, Tommy Dreamer and the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, Hardcore Holly and Stan Hansen, Joey Janela and Abdullah the Butcher, Terry Funk and Norman Smiley, Bruiser Brody and Jimmy Havoc. Obviously, I came up with the brackets before we found out that Jimmy Havoc was a perverted freak. And Taz and Raven. So, those are your tournament participants.
Jimmy Havoc.
Yeah.
Was it sexual assault?
Well, he was accused of it, and he never denied it, so AEW fired him.
Okay. Well, just take him off right now.
Okay.
We'll give the other guy a bye.
Can we sub him with what's his name?
I don't know, Eric. What is his name?
What is it? Give us a name right now, and we'll sub.
The TNT champion.
Darby Allin. Yeah.
No, because I got Darby.
Else. Okay.
How about Sags?
Oh, wait, do I? What? No, not, you're thinking of Brian Knobbs, right?
Yeah, let's go Brian Knobbs.
Okay.
He was good at hardcore wrestling.
I actually enjoyed the hardcore stuff he did. All right, so Bruiser Brody Brian Knobbs is, again, going to happen instead of Jimmy Havoc.
We don't support those actions on this
show. Not at all.
All right, let's first match.
The Lethal Weapon, Steve Blackman, and Mike Awesome. Which, actually, these are two guys I probably – I think when we drew this, I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Because I like both these guys and – actually want both of them to succeed. I mean, they can't really anymore. Mm. But
yeah, you want me to go?
Interesting matchup.
I say we go for a little something different here. We started. Awesome starts beating the shit out of them, right? That starts as a clean fight. They don't even use weapons at first. And Mike, because he's so big and powerful, he's beating the hell out of them. Well, then Steve Blackman's gotta use something in his arsenal. So he grabs a bag under the ring, and it's got his kendo stick and his nunchucks and all his shit that he likes to fuck with.
Mm-hmm.
And he beats the hell out of Awesome, and Awesome is brutal and bloodied. And this is like 5 minutes of him beating the hell out of Mike Awesome. But he keeps pinning it. It's a two count. And then I would just say have Mike come back at the end, do a big power slam through a table or something, and give him the 1-2-3. And then
probably the Awesome.
Yeah, the Awesome bomb through a table, give him the 1-2-3, and then have him go into the next round brutal and bloodied.
Okay. All right, that's one opinion. Stevie?
I'd probably, have the match start out clean, and then, add some weapons in there, like a trash can or a steel chair or maybe some tables and just, have a regular hardcore match. But it gets bloody towards the end, so I'd probably have Mike Awesome go over in this match over Steve Blackman.
Okay. All right, Eric.
I actually would have this start out in the back. Have Mike Awesome attack Steve Blackman as he is coming down in the ring, and they start out in the back and then work their way up to the ring. And as Daniel said, Mike Awesome just beats him, and then Steve Blackman comes back and then gets his weapons and starts beating him up for about 5 to 6 minutes. And then Mike Awesome does two power bombs, does 1-2-3. I can do two power bombs through the table. Double tables stacked.
All right, well, the result's basically the same. Awesome goes over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it starting in the back, too. I like that.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing is that, Mike Awesome was an ECW champion. But he was never really I think he made the tables cool before the Dudleys did.
Yeah.
Because he would always do a power bomb or whatever.
Yeah.
But he was never really a hardcore guy.
No, that's true.
Blackman, however, was.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, this is an interesting match. But yeah, Mike Awesome goes over on this one. It was basically unanimous. I'm sure that's the only time that's going to happen. All right. Next up. And Eric, we'll actually start with you on this one. Cactus Jack and the Sandman.
Oh, boy. How about let's start this with what was Cactus Jack's favorite weapon? Oh, no. As Sandman's coming through the stand, you have Cactus Jack go up after him in the stand, and they start brawling. down the stairs, and Texas Jack pushes him down the stairs, and then they work their way into the ring, grab weapons. Texas Jack beats him up for about 5 minutes. Then you have Sandman come back and beat him up. But then I would have Texas Jack go over because he's a hardcore legend. So you have to, they're both hardcore legends, so this is tough. But I would have Texas Jack go over.
Okay, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say Cactus too. Just because this is a hardcore tournament, and Sandman is awesome when it comes to hardcore wrestling. He's one of the greatest hardcore wrestlers of all time. He's very extreme. The only thing is his character's a bit one note, I guess.
Yeah.
Sandman does what he does, and he does it well, but we could have a little
but
more.
But he doesn't do it for long.
No. We could have a little more fun in this tournament with Cactus, so I'd rather see him go.
And Cactus and Awesome, I think I'd rather be signed up for that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Stevie.
Okay. I'd probably start it out as Cactus Jack has the barbed wire baseball bat and he's chasing the Sandman around the arena, like up in the rafters there. And the Sandman defends himself with a kendo stick and like tries to like knock Cactus Jack down the stairs. And then as soon as they get to the ring, then they start to use the steel chairs and then have Cactus Jack go through a table. So towards the end, I would probably go with Cactus Jack over the Sandman because Cactus Jack, when it comes to hardcore matches, he has the advantage.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, he does have an advantage, and the advantage basically is that he's not as one-dimensional as the Sandman is.
Yeah.
And he could go longer.
Yeah. He could have Mick Foley's had 40-minute matches.
Yeah. I mean, and Mick Foley does not have a 40-minute match body.
Sure.
Yeah, he can. And that's always been a remarkable thing about him.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've actually liked about I like about Mick Foley is the fact that somebody that fat can go that long.
Right.
God bless him.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, so, all right. Jack, go ahead.
I want to know how can he survive the barbed wire matches, too? It's like insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know how he can do it.
Calling him on the phone.
Yeah.
Mick, how do we do this? All right, so Cactus Jack moves on. It's going to be Cactus Jack and Mike Awesome in the quarterfinals. Coming up next, Tommy Dreamer taking on the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez. Daniel, I'm actually going to start with you because I think you're the only other person besides me that knows who Manny Fernandez is.
Yeah. I'm going to go Dreamer, though, to have an underdog in. Dreamer can kind of be our little underdog we can play with because he's known for losing.
Right.
Him and Manny, I'm not a huge Manny Fernandez fan anyway, so it's kind of hard to give a compelling reason to why he should win. But
I never liked the guy. I just put him in here just then.
Was he even that hardcore?
He was very brutal. I basically put him in here because he's a Texas guy.
Yeah.
And those Texas boys can get kind of brutal.
So we'll do that. You know, he's very brutal. He beats the hell out of Dreamer, but Dreamer has the underdog spell and wins.
All right.
Simple and sweet.
Stevie?
I would probably start off start off as like a regular wrestling match, and then towards the end, it starts to get, worser. They start to use the steel chair and the kendo sticks. So I'd probably go with Tommy Dreamer over Manny Fernandez.
Okay.
So I think it would end up being, like, a bloody contest, too. So that's my pick.
Okay. All right, Eric.
Yeah, I'll go with Tommy Dreamer. I think they would have maybe a 10-minute match where Dreamer just uses all different kinds of weapons to bloody him up, and then finally does his finisher and wins.
All right. The fact that you guys are agreeing on everything just astounds me. All right. I mean, yeah, basically, yeah, and like Daniel said, Tommy Dreamer is kind of the underdog because Manny Fernandez, you know, can beat the hell out of you. And Dreamer's used to getting the hell beat out of him. But, you know, a hardcore title tournament kind of is made for Tommy Dreamer. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, this match is intriguing to me, although I know who we all think should go over. But I'm interested to hear the pitches. Hardcore Holly and Stan the Lariat Hansen. And Stevie, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Well, I do like both wrestlers. So I'd probably go with Stan the Lariat Hansen over Hardcore Holly. Because okay. I think in this match, you got to use a lot of the weapons in this match, and plus, I think it would go longer, but I don't think it would be just a regular wrestling match. It'd be like a brutal wrestling match. So I'd probably go with Stan the Lariat Hansen.
Okay, Eric.
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to go with Hardcore Holly. His name is Hardcore Holly, so I think we should have this. A guy named, with his name, Hardcore, advanced in the tournament. But, and I think he's probably more hardcore. I don't know the other guy either, so I'm going Hardcore Holly.
Okay.
Dang. Eric, the old school group is going to tear you to shreds.
Putting Bob Holly over Stan Hansen.
No, that's all right.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I see where he's coming from. I
do see where he's coming from, though, too. I'm just saying is that, like, I mean, again, if as many people in the old school group, if just half of the members in our old school group listen to this, then, you know, Eric would be in a lot of trouble. Because that's over 4,000 people that would be knocking on his door with tiki torches.
I'm going to agree with Stevie, but I'm going to go the other way with it. I don't think there should be many weapons at all. And I think Stan Hansen's whole thing should be, this isn't real wrestling. I'm a brutal son of a bitch, and I can beat you up without weapons. And I can make you bleed. I can do all this with my bare fists. And that's his whole angle in this tournament. And every time Hardcore Holly tries to grab a chair or grab a sledgehammer or grab anything, you know, Stan just punches him in the gut or gives him a hit to the face. Or even at the end, Hardcore goes, he grabs like a pipe because he's like out of breath. He's got nothing left in the tank. He goes to grab a pipe, goes to swing it. Stan misses. Stan hits the rope. Lariat on the outside. Good night, Irene. One of the best lariats, one of the best guys to ever hit a lariat. JBL, eat your fucking heart out. I mean, JBL's clothesline from hell was amazing.
Well, here's the thing, though. And Stan Hansen did that, Larry. Stan Hansen is legally blind, by the way. He can't see.
Yeah.
So having him come halfway across the ring, and he doesn't know where the fuck you are, and him still be able to hit you?
Yeah.
I mean, that is amazing. But, yeah, he's just – he would tell guys, he'd be like, all right, you got to make sure you stand in the middle of the ring because I can't see a damn thing.
And I like it because it brings a new dimension to this tournament that not weapons aren't just going to get you to the dance here. You have to be a brutal, tough son of a bitch if you want to win.
I mean, Stan Hansen did use a weapon a lot, but it was his cowboy boot.
Yeah.
That's how he used to bloody guys up. He barely used a cowbell. He would basically just take his boot off and start whacking you.
Yeah.
All right, so Stan Hansen's going to get the Duke here. So now it's going to be Stan Hansen and Tommy Dreamer in the quarterfinals. Now, this next one is probably
most intriguing. Joey Janela versus Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Stevie, what? You said jeez, so you get to go first.
it's an obvious choice. You would want to go with Abdullah the Butcher in this match because this guy's like, you know, when it comes to like these hardcore matches, he's like crazy in the ring. You never know what he's going to do. So I'd go with Abdullah the Butcher.
He's just crazy in the ring. He's crazy outside the fucking ring, too.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
Stevie goes for Abdullah. Dang him.
I'm going Joey Janela.
You.
I'm going to see what I can do here. Joey Janela, first of all,
Sonny Kiss has a better chance against Abdullah than
Joey Janela. We start this with a backstage vignette. Abdullah's in catering. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. Abdullah's in catering. He's got a fat pork chop in front of him. Not Paul Heyman. I mean an actual pork chop. Then Joey Janela comes over to him, say, "Hey, Abby, how you doing? Just so you know, I have nothing but respect for you." And Abdullah's like, "Baby, man, okay." He hands him a fork. Joey Janela hands him a fork, and he's like, "I would be honored if you use this fork on me during our match, because I'm a crazy son of a bitch, and you use that fork, and you do your worst, sir." And Abdullah's like, "Meh, meh, meh." Okay, that means yes. What Abdullah doesn't know, it's a gimmick fork. It's not real. It can't actually stab you. It's like a plastic fork, but it's sprayed metal. Are you with me, Eric? All right, I'm still gone. You've got the gimmick fork, right? So then, Joey Janela comes to the ring on a forklift. He rides it to the ring, crashes the side of the ring. Abdullah falls and rolls over onto the forklift. There's a triple set of flaming tables that Abdullah already, because Abdullah got creative and felt like setting tables on fire. There's three sets of tables on fire right in front of them. And, Joey Janela picks up, he's got the forklift, even though we're using a gimmick forklift, too. So it's weighed down a bit from Abby's weight. But it can't, so he's lifting him up, right? And then he goes, and then the forklift crashes at the end. It crashes on Joey Janela.
Like
it crashes on Abdullah the Butcher. And then...
Oh.
Both guys are done. Both guys are knocked out. You got to take both of them out of the tournament. I'm not even going Joey Janela anymore. You got to take them both out. Serious injuries from the forklift crash.
Holy shit.
All right, Eric, go ahead.
I like that idea. I mean, that means two. But I'll I'll actually have Joey Janela event. My idea would be fight on the stage, have Joey Janela push him off the stage and climb up the ramp, climb up the whatever that's called, and then jump from it and then land on him and somehow referee counts 1, 2, 3.
Decision time.
Oh, God. All right. The obvious choice here, I think, would be Abdullah. However,
you don't go with obvious.
Your idea is out there. Holy shit. I got to. Is Vince Russo in there?
Somewhere.
Because that's a Russo idea.
Bro. Just put him on the forklift.
Hit him. All right, so that cancels that out.
And put it on a pole, too.
Yeah. Anyway, so the obvious choice is Abdullah the Butcher, but I do think we kind of have to go upset here.
I'm giving Janela the win.
Can we at least do my forklift idea that Janela puts the arm over him at the end?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So we'll go Janela on this one. just you guys better not fuck up this next one. Because it's Terry Funk and Norman Smiley.
Well, I hate Norman Smiley.
This is an easy one.
So I say Terry Funk goes out with a flamethrower. No, I...
What have you got against the big wiggle?
He's okay. I just never found him that entertaining. But, yeah, I mean, Funk. I don't know how to put a story to this. Except maybe they're just both dancing because they're all old and senile. And then, I don't know. Norman trips over his foot on a barbed wire bat. And then Funk's like, oh, I guess I'll pin him. Is that a good Terry Funk impression?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. Here's my idea.
Here's my issue. Fritters!
Yeah, so Terry. I'm going Funk.
Okay. Eric?
I'm going Funk, but my idea is 2-minute match.
Okay.
Terry Funk gets a chair, hits Norman Smiley 10 times, and 1, 2, 3.
All right. Stevie.
I got to go with Terry Funk. It's the obvious. Well, it'd probably be like a shorter match, but Terry Funk hits Norman Smiley over with a steel chair in like 1, 2, 3. Terry Funk wins.
Okay, very good.
Hardcore legend.
In the next round, it's going to be Joey Janela and Terry Funk. Coming up next here. Ooh. In round one, we have Bruiser Brody and Brian Knobs. Stevie, let's start with you.
Bruiser Brody and Brian Knobs.
Yeah.
Well, I'd probably end up going with Bruiser Brody over Brian Knobs because it started off maybe like as a clean fight towards the end. The fight gets a bit bloody or something. So I'd probably go with Bruiser Brody.
Okay. All right, Eric.
Boy, this is the obvious choice is Bruiser Brody. It's his name. But Brian Knobs is interesting. Tag team specialist.
Yeah, but also knows
his
way in.
Also
knows his way in a hardcore match too.
Yeah. He's better known for tagging, but as you said, he is hardcore. How about this? His partner, what's his partner's name? Zags comes down, helps him win.
Yeah.
Helps him win and gets the upset win and advances. They beat up Bruiser Brody until he can't go no more and he gets the win. There's something different.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely something different. I mean, Knobs and Sags would have to do our show now if we put Knobs over Bruiser Brody.
Convention. They were going to do it outside with us, weren't they?
Yeah, they would have actually done the show with us if we would have stayed there longer.
We fucked up.
Well, at that time, you and I had no idea how to record a podcast. That's why Eric's with us. But Eric wasn't with us that day because Eric actually had to take my shift for me to go to this day.
I remember that.
But, yeah, I mean, we had the ball and we just dropped it.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with Eric. I'm going to go Joey. Not Joey. Knobs, the other one, yeah. And they both look like they've made their way to a fast food restaurant anyway. I mean, they're basically the same guy with different color hair.
Joey Janela and Brian Knobs?
Well, yeah. Sags, well, I was talking about Sags.
Oh.
But, yeah, give Knobs the win. Make his whole thing, but I don't want to bring Sags in. I don't like that. I'd rather just have him as the guy that wants to make a name for himself outside the tag team. Because if you didn't watch WCW in 2000, you really don't know how hardcore he is. I mean, did he just work at ECW too?
No, he was never.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, he was WCW Hardcore Champion, but the five people that watch that only know that. Because
yeah, me being one of them.
Because the product sucked at the time. But, you know, have his whole angle as how he wants to break away from that. He needs this. And beating a legend like Bruiser Brody is going to make his career. And he's going to go out on his own and stick a name for himself. And this tournament's going to help him do it. That's how I would have him go over.
All right. But you guys would have him go over Brody. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
That's an interesting take. So we'll go with that. We'll go with Knobs. And although I think there's going to be a lot of people after my ass for not putting Brody over.
What do you want
to do? Just with a regular match, yeah. Of course, Brody would go over. But this is a hardcore match. I mean, Brody
wasn't necessarily a technical wrestling genius himself.
Okay.
But I do like the prospect of Knobs going far in this thing. I like Brian Knobs. Brian Knobs and Jerry Sags are actually very nice guys. Okay.
I really enjoyed meeting them.
Yeah. They act like a married couple, though. Knobs actually got a stick of Sags. He's like, you know, I've put up with this shit for 40 years.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's how long they've been together. I mean, they've been friends forever. So, all right. So, we'll go
just
with
like Knobs. Just like you and me, Doug.
Huh?
I said just like you and me.
Yeah, but I don't. No comment.
I had to say it.
We'll let it go. We'll... Before I say something that's going to get me in trouble. I've actually been pretty good tonight. All right. Last match of the first round. Daniel, we'll start with you on this one. Taz and Raven.
Ooh, this is a good one. I'm almost compelled to go Taz, but I think I want to go Raven here. And I think we need to have the whole flock with him. And that brings... Because this is hardcore, this is anything goes. So Raven and the flock, he keeps beating people up.
Right.
I like that. And I like them beating Taz up. And Taz keeps... Taz, it's like Goldberg versus Raven back in the day. Like Taz is throwing the flock guys in the crowd, except you do a plot twist and then Raven hits him with something and then hits him with a brick or something and then wins. Because that brings the gang warfare to this, and that makes you know that this is a hardcore tournament and nobody is safe and anything really goes. So I go Raven.
Okay. Stevie.
Actually, I would go Raven too. I mean, you have to have the flock with them. So I'd probably go with Raven over Taz.
Okay. Eric?
I wanted to say Taz, but these guys have a point. Raven is hardcore, too. All he did was hardcore in WWE. So,
yeah,
I'm going to go with Raven.
All right, that settles it. Raven moves on. All right, so your second round is going to look like Mike Awesome versus Cactus Jack, Tommy Dreamer and Stan the Larry Hansen, Joey Janela and Terry Funk, Brian Knobs and Raven. Oh, this is...
Holy shit.
This is interesting. All right, let's start first match of the second round. Daniel, we'll start with you. Mike Awesome, Cactus Jack.
Cactus. I like both these guys. I think you do a lot of big spots. I think they should both go through 30 tables apiece, 52 share shots apiece, and just beat the hell out of each other. And,
you want them each to hit each other with share 52 times?
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got the thumbtacks.
Can you imagine that? But yeah, I have Cactus win at the end. And kind of a thing where they're both knocked out and then Cactus just puts the arm over. That's how I would.
After they beat the shit out of each other?
Yeah.
All right, Stevie.
I would agree. I would go with Cactus Jack in this match. I mean, Cactus Jack would use a lot of weapons in this one, so I'd go with Cactus Jack.
Okay. Eric. Eric.
Yeah. The idea I have is do a barbed wire tables match and use a lot of barbed wire and tables. Cactus Jack's specialty is barbed wire. And Mike Awesome's specialty is tables, so why not have barbed wire around on the tables and use all that weapons, and I would have Cactus Jack go over.
Okay. All right, so Cactus Jack it is. All right, next one up, Tommy Dreamer and Stan Delarian Hansen. Stevie, we'll start with you on this one.
Well, I'd probably go with Tommy Dreamer over Stan Delarian Hansen, only because it would be like one of those hardcore matches where it gets really aggressive towards the end. So I'd probably go with Tommy Dreamer over Stan Hansen.
Okay. Eric?
I would have Tommy Dreamer advance. Continue the underdog story.
All right.
I'm going Hansen. I love the underdog story, and I think we milk it to the end, and it seems like Tommy's going to win, but this guy's just too brutal, too savage. And come on, Cactus Jack versus Stan Hansen, that's money on the fucking table.
Right.
So, I go Stan Hansen, because him versus Cactus would be a brutal all-out brawl. It's a dream match for a lot of people.
Pretty much.
So
I think it'd be a dream match for a lot of people here in Philly.
Any Southern wrestling fan, too.
And in Japan as well.
Japan. Huge match in Japan, that would be.
Definitely.
So we'll go with Hansen on this one, even though we got outruled 2-1. But however, I am Vince McMahon. And you're my Pat Patterson.
Wait, I'm gay? That's if there's anything wrong with that, but.
I did a
speech at the beginning of the.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just not.
I know.
So all right, so we'll go Stan Hansen on that one. Up next, and Eric, we'll start with you. Joey Janela and Terry Funk.
Legend versus maybe future. I'm not saying future legend, but. Definitely somebody is very hardcore, is as much as Terry Funk was. But you have to go with Terry Funk. The possibilities of a matchup later down the road is endless. And he's a hardcore legend.
All right. Daniel.
All right. So I'll just give you guys my long-term booking because this is what I want to do. We need to have Cactus and Terry Funk in the finals. We need to have Mentor versus Legend. Master versus Mentor. They've done it before. We could do it better. And they haven't really done it with Cactus versus Terry Funk. It was Cactus versus Chainsaw Charlie or whatever. This is Terry Funk, Texas, Armadillo, Texas's own Terry Funk. And Joey Janela should be bagging groceries. I don't even like Joey Janela. That's one of the only things I agree with Jim Cornette on, is that Joey Janela is kind of a waste of space. He's hardcore, and I think it would be a fun match. It'd be a nice, brutal match, but you got to have Funk win.
All right. Stevie.
I'd go with Terry Funk over Joey Janela. It would be like one of those brutal, hardcore matches, so I would agree and go with Terry Funk.
Okay. All right, so we'll go with Terry Funk on this one. All right, last match of the quarterfinals, Brian Knobbs and Raven. Daniel, who you got? Are you having a stroke before you answer this?
No, because this is a hard one.
Okay.
This is a hard one.
Raven wins. Raven wins. The flock beats the hell out of Knobs, but then Sags does come back and save his ass at the end. And the Nasty Boys have a reunion. And then they can be in our tag team matches in the future or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think Raven should win here. Because Raven versus Terry Funk, I mean, it's been proven to be a great match.
Absolutely. All right. Stevie?
I would agree. I would go with Raven in this match.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go the opposite. I'm going to go with Brian. Because I like that intriguing matchup between Brian and Terry Funk. And I want to continue this theme where he's trying to make a name for himself.
Okay. I mean, I do see where Eric's coming from. He's trying to make a name for himself.
Well, the only thing reason I'd say the flock is because it gives Funk a nice underdog type story going into the.
Yeah, because the now one. He's got to face like 10 guys.
Yeah, and we've already established that no one can beat the flock, but maybe the old grizzled veteran could do it.
So I am going to agree with you and Stevie on this one and say it's got to be Raven. Because, again, he's got the flock helping him. I mean, and I like Brian. I actually like Brian Knobs better than I like Raven. But I want to see where this flock storyline gets us here. All right, so your semifinals are Cactus Jack versus Stan Hansen and Terry Funk versus Raven. Let's not waste any time. Stevie, I'm going to start with you. Cactus Jack versus Stan Hansen.
I would probably go with Cactus Jack over Stan Hansen. That'd be my choice.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going Cactus too.
Okay.
Cactus is the one guy that can take all the punishment that Stan's been giving out and ask for more. You know, spit out a tooth and say, please, sir, give me another. He's the only one brutal enough, the only one sadistic enough, the only one that enjoys pain enough to keep getting his ass kicked, keep getting up, and finally get the 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Eric.
I'm going with Cactus Jack too. Make it like a 25-30 minute hardcore brutal match. They fight outside, they fight inside, they fight everywhere.
All right, so we'll go Cactus on this one. He advances to the finals. All right, Daniel, we'll start with you here. Terry Funk and Raven.
Well, I think I made it obvious what I want to do. But it's also up to you guys because what's Terry Funk and Raven, winner would face Cactus, right?
In the final.
Now, we can go either two or three ways. I'm actually going to give two sides of the coin here, and then Stevie there can decide. We can either go the Funk thing. If Funk beats the pack, you know, he beats the flock. He is the old grizzled veteran. He's the underdog scenario in here, and he just keeps fighting and fighting and fighting, and no one can take him down. And then finally, he gets a sleeper hold on Raven or something, and he finally puts him out, and he wins. And then you set up the great, you know, showdown between, you know, veteran and – I mean, Mick Foley's a veteran now, but I feel like this is fantasy, so both guys can be in the prime or whatever. So Master and Protege. You got two guys who love the hell out of each other, but also beat the hell out of each other to please a crowd. So we could go that way. Or we could set up kind of a compelling side for Cactus, because Cactus has been throwing so much brutal shit. He had to fight Mike Awesome, for God's sakes. He had to fight Stan Hansen, for God's sakes. He's gotten his ass kicked, even though he's won. So now he's got even more odds. And you have the baby face, him, instead of having two baby faces going at it, was kind of weird. Even though it would be a nice dream match with him, Funk. You have him go against the whole entire flock, you know, and you've proved that no one can beat these guys. This is hardcore, and that means Raven can have as many people as he wants, and no one can take him down because he's got the whole flock with him. So we can either do one of those two things.
Okay. All right, Stevie?
So I would have to go with I'd probably have to go with Terry Funk over Raven. It would be one of those hardcore matches. So I go with Terry Funk.
Okay. All right. Eric?
I want to go with Terry Funk. But just to be if okay. Raven versus Cactus Jack is intriguing too. And we'll see if Cactus Jack can fight off the flock and Raven.
All right, so we'll go Raven on this one just because I like Daniel's storyline of after Cactus has been through Sandman and Mike Awesome and Stan Hansen and gotten his ass kicked, Raven, you know, had help beating Taz. He had help beating Brian Knobbs. Now he has help beating Terry Funk. So, you know, we'll go with Raven there.
And we've kind of seen Funk and Cactus do a lot together anyway.
Yeah. I don't think Cactus and Raven have ever had a one-on-one.
Yeah, that's exciting to think about.
So, yeah, so we'll go there. The finals are up. Stevie, I'm going to start with you. Cactus, Jack, and Raven. Who's going to become the hardcore champion?
Well, this is a tough decision. I'm probably going to have to go with Cactus Jack over Raven. I know Raven's got the help like right behind him, but I have to go the opposite and go with Cactus Jack. I think he could beat Raven in the flock, so I'm going with Cactus Jack.
Okay, cool.
And plus I think Cactus Jack, he's like the king of hardcore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he pretty much is.
Yeah, so I'd go with Cactus Jack.
All right. Eric?
I'm going with Wild Cactus Jack, too. What about having, like, a barbed wire steel cage match? I'm just throwing it out there. keeping the flock out of
there. Somehow we'll be able to keep the flock out of there.
Yeah. Every time you try to get in, you can't go through barbed wire. So,
right.
Just throwing out there, it's just an idea.
Okay.
But I have Cactus Jack going over.
So, these two start out, brutal fight, beat the hell out of each other. Then you see the flock come in a little more. A few guys will come in. Kidman comes in, hits him with a chair. You know, Saturn will come in and do something. And it happens in spurts, but Cactus can kind of overcome it. But then there comes a point where the whole flock's in the ring. All of them. They're circling him. And then you hear entrance music. And Brian Knobbs, Taz, who else did he beat besides Funk? Who's the other guy?
Brian Knobbs, Taz, and Funk. This is only a 16-man
tournament. Okay. So those three come out. First, it's Knobbs and Taz, and they come out. Say, listen, you sons of bitches. You're not going to get away with this. And it gives all those guys a push and a rub, too, because they look cool. And then Funk comes out, and like, this kid is like my son. You are going to have to kill me if you were going to try to take this away from him. And then the flock and those guys just get into a brutal fight. And all this shit's happening on the side. Raven tries to go to sneak a chair shot, misses Cactus. The chair ricochets off the turnbuckle, hits him in the forehead, into a DDT. Good night, Irene. Cactus Jack wins the hardcore championship. Okay. All
right, so obviously we're all in agreement that it's going to be Cactus. Mm-hmm. And those are definitely good pitches. So, yeah, Cactus Jack's going to win the hardcore title. This was actually an interesting tournament.
Oh, it was.
But yeah, I mean, I wish that some of these matches could still happen, to be honest with you. All right. So next time we do this, which probably won't be till sometime in May, will be the cruiserweight title. And then if we could fit it in, we'll do the six-man tag title tournament with it.
Yeah, we might just do a few.
Yeah, because Dave and I are still trying to figure out our new fantasy idea.
Yeah.
Or our new idea for fantasy warfare, because we're going to try to turn it into the territories.
Ah, nice.
We're still working on the details, but we'll get to you. Another thing I kind of wanted to bring up here, since we finished the fantasy tournament, again, very well booked. What did everybody think of Bobby Lashley winning the title on Monday?
I was going to ask you that, too.
I'm cool with it. If they go,
I think he deserves it.
Drew and Bobby
wrestle.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good money match.
Yeah. Because it's two guys that were basically unstoppable.
Yeah. And then went through so much bullshit and deserved to be there. The amount of bad stuff they've given Bobby Lashley to do, it's great that he's got this now.
And here's the thing. The whole Hurt Business thing, at first, I thought was stupid.
But now it's one of the best
However,
things on the show.
It is. And Bobby Lashley has looked dominant. He is a monster. He can't be stopped, and that's what a monster heel needs to look like. There's only been one person that technically been able to stop him, and it's Drew McIntyre. I mean, even Keith Lee, Keith Lee should have had his way with him, but in the match with Keith Lee, that's the only match MVP had to get Bobby Lashley disqualified to save him from losing. Was against Keith Lee. Other than that, MVP has not really been needed.
He's
a hell of a mouthpiece.
Yeah. He's better now than he was back then.
Yeah. I mean, Stevie, what do you think of the whole
thing? I thought Bobby Lashley deserved to be the WWE champion because it was like the writing was on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Go ahead, Stevie.
He's worked hard for it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that a guy that worked hard, and a guy that really hasn't been given a lot of opportunities to shine in that main event.
Yeah.
Seeing him get it, just like we all felt good for Drew, and we're not supposed to feel good for Bobby Lashley.
No.
We're supposed to hate this.
Yeah, but
how can you hate it?
No, you can't. Because this time last year he was doing that stupid Lana thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, the shit with Sami Zayn, it feels like they've done so much to try to bury this guy that it's nice that they got something that's working, something with steam, and that he's.
And here's the thing, when they had Leo Rush with him, I still found that annoying because Leo Rush, I can't. No.
They were getting there. They were getting towards this.
But the fact is that Leo Rush had so much heat in the backstage area because he thought he was hot shit.
Well, I like the Almighty stuff.
No, I did.
His heel work.
I did, too. I just didn't like the mouthpiece they gave.
Yeah.
MVP, I can
Because
I like MVP. But, Lashley getting in the way. I mean, I still think they're going to fuck it somehow.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got this feeling. And, Eric, I'll actually elaborate what I was trying to tell you the other day while you were bothering me.
Sorry.
It's okay. I still love you. So Miz basically has kind of loopholed everything over the last 6 months. From getting the briefcase, because he had his lawyer file a lawsuit because he thought Otis was too stupid to cash in money in the bank, which the jury's still out on that. He gave JBL a briefcase full of money. He stole the Money in the Bank briefcase from Otis.
Yeah.
Then he cashed it in at TLC, but he loopholed to get the briefcase back by saying, no, Morrison cashed it in. If you watch TLC, you'll see Miz tell Morrison, cash this in for me. Okay, but he was able to get the briefcase back because he technically did have a case. well, not the briefcase. He basically, yeah, Morrison was the one that told the referee he's cashing this in. The words did not come from Miz's mouth unless, like, you actually paid attention, which referees are not supposed to do. Unless you paid attention to Miz saying, tell him I'm cashing this in. If you watched Raw at all on Monday, you saw Miz had no desire to be in this match. They tried to have the match three times.
Yeah.
All right. At 9 o'clock Eastern time, Miz faked that he had the fudgies. Okay? Did not want to participate. 10 o'clock Eastern time, he ran like hell. He ran like he was shot at. Okay? And this time, and when they finally had the match, like they had to have Lumberjack, he was trying to get away. He had no offense whatsoever.
Yeah.
He was trying to run. Okay? So he's going to say, I never signed a contract. I never agreed to the match. I want my belt back. And he's gonna call either his lawyers, or he might call USA Network like he did when he tried to get the briefcase, or when he stole the briefcase from Otis. I have that feeling. Now, I don't know if it's going to work this time. And if it does, I hope he actually brings a lawyer on TV with him, and Lashley puts that lawyer in the Hurt Lock.
Yeah.
Because I love seeing a lawyer get beat up. But yeah, no. I mean, this was just like, and Eric, this is as close to a show about the current product as you're probably going to get. I guess I'll go fuck myself. I wanted to get everybody's thoughts on that, because I was happy for, and you're not supposed to be happy for Bobby Lashley, but as much shit as this guy got put through, which one, just having to work with Sami Zayn, and then two, having this shitty storyline,
yeah.
I was happy for him.
I was too.
Let's see. Is there anything else that we need to bring up?
I was going to ask you guys your the prediction for Sunday.
We're not getting into
just
a
briefly.
Full thing.
Yeah, you're already doing it.
No, I know. We're not. Just like the barbed wire match.
There's no way they're putting the title back on Moxley.
I wish they would.
No.
Omega's champion.
I don't like Kenny Omega, period, because he's got that boil on the backside of life, Don Callis, with him.
As I said before, when you went on air, oh, sorry, Doug.
Go ahead.
As I said before we went on air, I think somebody's going to cost Moxley the championship. I don't know who, but somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, Dangle and I aren't going to watch it anyway, unless you can somehow get Tony Khan to move the pay-per-view till 3 in the afternoon. Because the pay-per-view, it's going to start at 8. It's not going to end till midnight. Dangle and I have to be up at 5:30, and it ain't worth staying up for. So.
No.
We're actually, I can't believe we're doing this, but we're actually boycotting a pay-per-view.
I've seen it.
It'll be on YouTube the next day. But, yeah, I don't know. They're not going to put the title back on Moxley, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't see it.
No.
But, all right.
What do you think? Oh.
Well,
we can ask Davey. What do you think?
I don't think the title's going back on Moxley either. I mean, Kenny Omega probably has the advantage in this match. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I don't see it happen.
Okay, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, it's not going to happen. All right, so we're going to go ahead. We're going to cut it here. because I would actually like to get a shower in before SmackDown. Mainly because I look like I just rolled in a bunch of cocaine all day.
You know, people don't know where you're. They don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They might think you're actually doing cocaine.
Anyway,
he doesn't. He's
no, I don't do cocaine. I was cleaning filters.
Yes.
Never mind. But yeah, no, I was cleaning filters all day, and those filters are very dirty. So I actually have grit in my teeth. So I gotta get a shower. So all right, let's go ahead and end this. All right, Cactus Jack is your Fantasy Warfare Hardcore Champion. Next week, TNA roster tier list. 2 weeks, WrestleMania 10. Blah-de-blah. Blah. Let's blow.
Cactus Jack team. Oh, okay.